The Block is back, Sunday to Wednesday on 9. And to celebrate, Tanya and Steve are on a mission to block your street.
Yeah, head to kofm.com.au. It's going to be happening again, Steve, very soon.
And we can announce that special guests on the day turning up to your block will be Sarah and Hayden. Morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks for turning up. This will be a big day. We had a great one last year, and you'll enjoy this one, apart from the fact that we get you to renovate three people's houses in the block. But we'll tell you about that later, okay?
Just make sure they don't have any doors in their houses.
Don't get us started on the door, mate. Okay, just a quickie about last night. Perfect score for the other guys with the, 30 out of 30. Well, here's the announcer, right?
Okay, here we go. Winner of Kitchen Week with a perfect score is Kieran Spence. Perfect score.
Now, there you go. You guys are 28, though, and I reckon they got the extra 2 points because they had a fridge worth nearly 30 grand.
Yeah. It was pretty hard to go up against Gaggenau and Sub-Zero, that was for sure.
Yeah, but look, tell me.
But good on them. They did a really good job. Really impressed.
Are those appliances, though, right, a bit like when you buy an expensive car? Looks good when they're in, but if they break down, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, they could be in for some serious servicing if something did go wrong. But I guess, they do look amazing and they are good sponsors for the show. So, they definitely helped them win the room, and that's in their favour for picking the safe.
You know, I'm starting to wonder about this butler pantry thing. I'm really starting to wonder about it because they seem like a bit of a waste of space to me, and I know it was on trend, but are they going to go away or are they going to remain, you reckon?
I'm not too sure. Our one was actually hidden. So,
yeah.
It just looks like a cupboard that you walked in, really, whereas everyone else's, it was effectively like a walk-around kind of thing. I wasn't really a fan of that. I mean, if you're going to have a butler's pantry, it's got to be hidden. I don't know. I think it's still on trend in multi-million-dollar apartments,
right,
to be honest. The storage, really.
Because I see that.
And
also,
that's the key point there, is you can use that room to store a lot of things for the home generally because there is so much storage there.
Yeah, I guess it's as you say, it's the price of the houses, but I figured if you're going to have a butler's pantry, you want to have a butler.
I think generally the people that actually do have that kind of money, they host a lot of parties, and it's more not just for a butler but for catering companies to kind of work in behind closed doors.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just that kind of thing where you're trying to hide all the mess, I guess.
Now, just a quickie on the Monopoly game last night I was watching, and it seemed like the two above on the penthouses, colluded there to go halves and cheated and, put you guys off. But here's a question I want to ask, particularly I know, Hayden, I noticed it with you. He's like, I don't know about you guys, I'm a bit, don't hassle me, right? So if I'm trying to do up a unit and they go, stop now, everybody, we've got to play a game. Do you feel that sometimes when you can play the game, it's like, oh, we could have done painting. Do we really have to?
Yeah, that was hard. I mean, I did sort of mention that. They did put that on TV because we were there for like a good 6 hours, I'd say. And if
playing the Monopoly game.
Oh, Monopoly game. Kill me now.
If they hadn't have actually, if the girls hadn't have teamed up, we could have been there for 12 hours. You know what I mean? Maybe they kind of did everyone a favour in that light, but, it was sort of a shame that I didn't play individually because it might have been more interesting.
Is it weird you guys watching it back? Is it giving you memories? Where are you sitting and watching it when it's on? Just at home in the lounge room?
Yeah, we're just sitting at home in front of our TV, and our couch is strategically placed right in front of the TV, which the judges didn't like. So, it does bring up a lot of memories, especially when, we went through all that problem was it on Sweet Week? And, the judges just kept hounding us and slamming us. And, I felt all those real emotions that were still going through, just watching it, to the fact that I was actually crying.
Well, as I've always said, Sarah, I thought you handled it very well.
Well, I thought I handled it well, you know. I had the beard to handle it all.
Oh, mate.
Oh, mate, fair enough. We don't even know half the pressures you poor things are under to do that. You're getting to the pointy end now. We're getting down there. We're looking forward to seeing you guys come up when we finally pick that block we're going to block. And we're really looking forward to you guys. And thanks for putting your time out to come and see us.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to coming and checking it all out.
All right. Be on your best behaviour, son. All right. Want nothing but smiles. Okay?
See you guys in a couple of weeks.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's Hayden and Sarah. Block stars. And did a good kitchen last night. 28 and a half, I think they got. So it's pretty close.
Yeah. See, I look at those Monopoly games. It's like here, if they want to go out on a team building mission. Oh, come on.
Monopoly goes long enough, let alone a six-hour game. If you'd like Hayden and Sarah, plus Tanya and Steve, plus all the KOFM team to turn up at your place and block your street, head to kofm.com.au. Steve, we've even got a couple of grand to give away on the day as well.
Perfect. So you get your entry in. What do? Go on the
line.
Website, follow the links.
That's it. KOFM.com.au will bring breakfast, coffee, a whole carnival atmosphere to your street. KOFM.com.au. That's the place to go if you want Tanya and Steve to block your street. Newcastle's KOFM. It's 8:12. This is Tanya and Steve. With Tanya back on deck tomorrow. It's Steve in thanks to Turnbull Hill Lawyers. Where there's a will, there is Turnbull Hill. Make an appointment today at Turnbull Hill Lawyers.
It was interesting watching, and I do it sometimes with my 12-year-old boy BJ. You know, he'll sit down and watch the news with me occasionally.
Yep.
Not always, but I do like how he takes things in.
Mm.
And when the DEFCON story, you know, the DEFCON festival where
the
there was
festival.
A few died from drug overdoses, which is horrific. It got us talking, and it made me curious as I was talking to him about it, because, I mean, his immediate thing was, why do they do that, Dad?
Yeah, and why do they take drugs?
I said, well, look, mate, to be honest with you, it'll be ahead of you. You'll have peer pressure down the track when you get older, and this is, you know, part of life, and we're just having this conversation. But, you know, the Premier's come out and said, well, that particular festival is banned.
Mm.
And it's like, well, here we go again. Adults just banning everything. There you go. That's off my hands now.
Yep.
No, there's other festivals. That's not fixing the drug problem. But also in perspective too. Now, don't get me wrong by any means what I'm about to say, because one person dying is just not good enough.
No.
It's tragic. There were 30,000 people at DEFCON 1. Yep. 30,000 people. 69 found with possession of drugs out of 30,000.
Yep.
700 did need medical assistance, not necessarily for drugs, though. There could be anything, but
drugs
700,
and alcohol,
again, out of 30,000. Three people are in critical condition. Two people died. Again, two people died, so that's two too many.
Yeah, absolutely. Tragic.
Right? And three in critical condition, which we're not too sure at the moment. Again, not good. But in, you know, 30,000 people, and you narrow those stats down, you could narrow it down to, say, 150 out of 30,000. Again, I'm not saying, that's okay.
No.
I'm saying the picture gets painted immediately that 30,000 people are all off their nuts.
Mm.
But the problem is, and as I talk to BJ about it, it's just a fact of our lives. When we were kids or when we were growing up, it was all around us, different kinds. I think it's got worse now. I think there's crap on, you know.
Yeah.
It's become more of a thing to pop pills or take whatever drug that you need to do, meth, scaroni, all of that.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say anymore.
Yeah, what the answer is.
Yeah, or even how do we talk to our kids about that? Because you can raise your kid as well as you like, but the fact is, once they hit around 14, 15, it's about their peers.
Yeah, peer
pressure.
It's
about who you hang around.
Mm, for sure.
I was raised very well by two parents, but I got in with the wrong crowd earlier in my life.
Who may have been doing different things.
Absolutely.
You're tagging along.
They were, you know, and eventually whatever my parents taught me probably was made me come out the other end okay, but you go through that period. What you don't need is to die during that period, but how do we talk to our kids?
Do you remember what your parents spoke to you about?
No,
drugs
well,
and things
to
like
be
that
really honest, though, my parents were just, everything's bad.
Okay.
And so, you know, when you're young, parents telling us that, really.
We all know that kind of thing.
Last night, I Googled some photos on people on crystal meth.
Okay.
You know, you see those, right?
Yeah, and like before and after.
Before and afters, and I was showing BJ those examples. I said, this is what it is, mate. I know it can be painted as fun and things. I said, but this is what can happen when you're addicted. And I said, you could be addicted to anything, but eventually it will overtake you physically, overtake you mentally, and you could see his face going, oh.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that will stick in his mind. I don't know where his peers will take him down the track, but I think that will hopefully stick in his mind. And I keep pounding that.
Yep.
I don't go, don't do it or anything. I go, this is the result of it.
Yeah.
And I think with the Premier coming out, going against that checking the drugs going in, that debate will go on forever that they do in Europe.
Yep.
And I know a few of the festivals have taken them
on. Oh, the pill testing?
Yes. Yeah, and so I know some festivals, testing, I think Groove in the Moo has taken that on, actually, the pill testing.
Yeah, they took it on this year.
I don't see coming out as that parent going, well, I'll just ban that festival. Mm. Well, no, there's plenty more. Or don't take drugs, they're bad.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Gee, that's helped. What do you do?
Well, we'd love to hear from you right now.
Yeah.
4942 1029. How do you talk to your kids about drugs, especially around that 14, 15 sort of, you know,
age
bracket?
It's just a fact of life now. We can deny it all we like, or the ones scare me the most is the parents that actually think their kids are angels and might won't do that. But that's just a bit ignorant, to be honest. It doesn't mean, I'm sure you're right on some, but in some cases, other cases... like Nick, for instance, EP Nick, and I'm not talking out of school. I know for a fact she hasn't gone there, never went there.
Yep.
You know, and that's it. It's not all kids go there.
No.
And she didn't. Cassandra, you got anything for me, mate? Help anyone out as a parent.
Yeah, look, we've got two daughters, and we're very, not strict, but informative.
Yep.
We show them the real deal, not make it look all pretty. So even if the kids say they're starving, we turn around and say, no, this is the starving
clip
it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, a bit so, like what I was saying when I showed BJ the photos of after effects of meth and things like that. It's like you give them a visual education over rather than waving your finger at them.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's the same with drugs and cigarettes and alcohol, and we explain what happens. Like cigarettes, you can get lung cancer. Do you want to die from cancer?
Yeah.
No. Please don't smoke. But if you're going to smoke, then that's your choice.
But at the end of the day, Cassandra...
But then again, my kids are 9 and 8.
Yeah, well, no, but that's good. They're heading into, just like BJ, they're heading into the world. Mm. We've already got the parents of kids that are at that age, but we're also talking about parents of kids that are heading into that age, aren't we?
Exactly. I'm just worried, with my girls especially, what it's going to be like when they become teenagers. I know for myself, there was a lot of peer pressure to smoke, to drink, to do marijuana, to take pills, and it was just what was ingrained in my head from my parents being so strict and upfront about it all as well, is the reason why I didn't.
That's why, that's the exact conversation that Karen and I had last night, actually, because, she saw me have that discussion with BJ, and then we talked about it later, how we both fear... What will it be like by the time he's 17, 18, 19? Yeah. What is going on there? What do you think, Alison?
Well, I think, like the other lady said, you need to be honest, but also talk to the kids about having a plan. So we're never going to stop them. If they want to do it, they're going to do it.
That's right.
But you need a plan. So if something does go wrong, that they're okay to ring a parent or an ambulance, or so that the kids aren't dying or being left in a park unconscious.
Exactly. It's a tough one, isn't it? And everyone's got an opinion on it, Alison, but I think the one thing I'm not a fan of is this waving your finger and saying, we'll just ban that. It doesn't work.
Well, it doesn't, no, because if they want to do it, they're going to do it.
Yeah. I always bring up prohibition in the States where they banned alcohol. That just created a whole new world of people going underground to have it and crime.
Yeah, for sure.
You can't just ban things.
Tony here, Steve.
What do you think, Tony?
I think it's a matter of choice. I think it's a matter of people teaching their children to choose the right path, and it's not just, because I don't condone drugs, but they make them choose the right path for work, they make them choose the right path for life.
Yeah.
It's the same situation. I grew up around it. I know exactly what they're going through.
Yeah, and that's it, Tony, as I was saying. It's like, once you get into that peer pressure, things can change. But I think if we can at least give our kids a grounding, there's something there, and it's the only thing we can really do. Once you lose control, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to see it firsthand. I left home real early, was in Melbourne, and lived with heroin addicts. I chose not to touch it. Had it offered to me quite a number of times, I chose not to touch it. And over that period of time, I saw what it was doing to them, and maybe show them true to life footage of what it does to them and how it makes them fucking...
Well, at the least we can do as parents is arm them with the knowledge. I mean, that's really the least we can do. Arm them with the knowledge and see where their peers take them.
Absolutely. Really quickly, we'll wrap it up with Tony here. Steve, who's got some thoughts on how to teach kids.
Yes, Tony.
Hi, Steve. My kids are all in their late 20s, early 30s. And the thing that I did was don't deny that it's going to happen because it will.
Yes.
Tell them that if they want to try it, give them the opportunity to do it in the safety of their own home. where you're there to, so that they can see the effects of it.
Now, people will argue with you, Tony. I'm not one of them, but people will argue with you. Then you're condoning it.
No, I'm not enabling it. I'm giving them a chance. Yeah. And even if you want to these days, back in my days, we didn't have the opportunity to film it.
It's true.
But you can film it and show what control they don't have.
Yeah.
And also educate them on what every drug does so that when someone walks up to them, like my son got approached first day of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like doing one of these, he said, oh, no, I know what they do. I'm not interested. Walk away. And they're not going to pursue you. They want the person who goes, oh, well, you know, what are they? What do they do? That's the person that they want to reel in. If you show no interest and walk away, they're not going to chase you.
Well, I think, you know, in general, this is a conversation that more people should have, and we should be open to things that probably scare us a little bit with what Tony just said.
Yeah.
The trouble is, coming out and go, drugs are bad, it's banned, please.
Yeah, you've got to be realistic with kids.
You've got to come with more solutions or educate them or arm them. But anyway, it's a horrible problem that's in most of our minds these days.
Yep, thanks for your calls.
And there's no definitive answer. It's just good to talk about it.
822, Tanya and Steve.
For the best deals on TVs, see the Great Wall of Pixels at Domain. With lots of cash in a minute. $1,000 minute. Win it. With Daniel and Steve.
Not a bad strike rate. Well, we've got two good strike wakes. We've been giving away a fair bit of money and we're getting a lot of swearing.
Yes, we're getting a lot of swearing.
People just missing a question here and there. Or in celebration of winning the money.
Yes.
They don't mind dropping the F-bomb here and there. So it's become part of the rules
on
now.
On Friday, Steve, we gave away $1,000 at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock.
Yep.
With JR as well. Wow. And 10 o'clock. So 3 out of 4 times we gave away $1,000 on Friday.
We are rolling out the cash, Paul. You are next to take it. Are you ready to go, mate?
Yeah, mate, righto.
Okay, here comes the rules.
Yep, we want no help from anyone or anything in the background. Pass if you don't know the answer to one of Steve's questions, Paul, and the new rule, Steve.
Oh, first answer we've got to take as well.
First answer we've got to take. Oh, rookie mistake, I forgot that.
That's
one.
That's all right, because there's no potty mouthing, Paul, okay?
And no potty mouthing.
Righto.
Okay, buddy, here we go. Who won the Sharks-Panthers match on the weekend?
The Sharks.
What is 6 squared?
36.
Which block couple scored a perfect score last night? Kerry and Spence or Shara and Hayden?
I don't know. I don't watch the pass.
Lisa Wilkinson sat down with which female tennis player last night?
Serena Williams.
In which decade did the movie Grease get released? 70s, 80s, 90s?
70s.
Spell lecture.
L-E-C-T-U-R-E.
What is the fourth letter of the alphabet?
D.
What season are we currently in?
Spring.
Who had hits with Dumb Things and Before Too Long?
Paul Kelly.
Koshy David Kosh hosts what morning TV show?
Sunrise.
Which block couple scored a perfect score last night? Was it Kerry and Spence or Sara and Hayden?
Kerry and Spence.
You won $1,000!
Yes! Oh, my.
You did it, Paul!
Woohoo! That was awesome.
It was awesome, mate. You nailed it, you went fast, and you just had that 50-50 call on the block thing that you knew nothing about, so well done.
That was a bit of luck.
Yeah, doesn't matter, mate. The grand is yours. What, have you got anything in mind with the money?
No, not yet. I haven't even thought about it, mate.
Excellent.
How good is that? What a strike rate we've got at the moment, giving away this $1,000. We love it. Well done, Paul.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Good on you, mate. Enjoy.
We'll get all your details for the best deals on TV. See the Great Wall of Pixels at Domain. We've got to thank Domain. They are just chucking the cash at us at the moment, Steve.
Good on you, team.
Oh, well done. We're going to play again at 8 o'clock this morning. Tanya and Steve's $1,000 minute. It's going off a lot. Tanya and Steve.